Welcome, guys, to a brand new episode for 2020 of Hip Hop Soiree. You got me, DJ Goose.
And Bobby.
And we're going to start this year talking about, well, we're going to start with news, actually. Before, we were talked about how we're going to do our top five songs, artists, and albums. And we're still getting that done, but we wanted to have an episode between that to talk about the news that's coming up. So we have one that we're going to talk about that's going to be main one. It's going to be about M and Nick Cannon. But I'm going to save that for the end. So we have two pieces that we want to talk about right now. This is actually one of the most recent ones. This has to do with DaBaby. So I want to give you just a little bit of a history. So DaBaby actually had a great year in 2019. He blew up. He had massive hits. He was going strong. He won me over because I don't know if you remember my critique before, but I was like, this guy's, he's like selfish. He's too arrogant, and I didn't like it. But he grew on me, and I started liking a lot of his stuff. His album was really great. And this year, 2020, he starts off with getting arrested. So, Papa, you know actually more about this. We read it, but you actually read it before I did. So, kind of tell us what happened to DaBaby.
Legitimately, at the first day of the year, 2020, he gets arrested in Miami because he was to perform a club promoter or whoever the promoter, currently unidentified, gave him money. I guess the agreed upon amount was $30,000. DaBaby eventually confronted him later with some of his crew members and stated he only received $20,000. So he, being DaBaby, ended up punching him in the face, and his entourage started attacking him and apparently another victim. I don't know if that victim was with the promoter intentionally. And the promoter also claims that he took his iPhone, his credit card, and apparently $80 in cash. And someone else threw apple juice on him, on the promoter. And there is some video footage of it. If you want to look it up, I don't know if they'll take him down from certain websites, but I can't identify any of the individuals. It's unfortunately just a guy that's essentially getting jumped and beat. They hop into an SUV, start driving away. The SUV stops. A guy hops out again, and they punch him and then hops back in, and he drives off. But what an awful way to start the new year after having such an amazing 2019. Mm-hmm. Much to your point, I never disliked him. I actually liked some of his songs. I just didn't know how big he would get or if he'd continue putting out good content. And a lot of it is very similar. I think he has a few nuanced, different songs. But I ended up enjoying him a lot in 2019. And now he can't make music. I think the bail for him is legitimately only $1,500, which he can easily afford.
Right, but the problem that's stemming from that is that he has an active warrant out, and that's what's keeping him in custody without bail.
And it's from Dallas, Texas, and apparently has something to do with organized criminal activity.
Yeah, I mean, he's always looked like a thug, like a gangster, and he's always has been seen in that persona. So he's lived it before, and he's living it now. And
he's never shied away. I mean, yeah. In 2019, he had the video footage of him punching that other rapper, and talking about it. He didn't care. He put it online, which is such an odd thing for me. I don't know. You make the money. Would you prefer staying out of trouble and make money or continue to live that lifestyle? And that's fine. It's his personal decision, but I think it's going to hurt him in the long run.
It's funny because they always talk about you hear in any songs when people get big, some of them will write about I'm still myself. I'm not. Money hasn't changed me. My status hasn't changed me. And I don't know if it's a pride thing or if it's just
they know no other lifestyle.
They know no other lifestyle. But I mean, I'm pretty sure someone had told him about, keeping things in check. Because we talked about, Tekashi 6ix9ine, that Fat Joe told him to don't give the government or the police anything to get you on. And we saw what happened to him, and now DaBaby is in jail. The funny thing about this, the funny part about this altercation, though, is the apple juice. Like, of all things to drench people in, is apple juice.
I think it's just one of those things where it's he. No, I don't. It says, is it him that they, let me read it.
Yeah, sure.
It says another person. So I guess it wasn't specifically DaBaby. It just says another drenched him in apple juice. Either way, there was a really funny comment from somebody on the website that we wrote it on. And it's a guy that says, when a guy who calls himself DaBaby throws apple juice at you, I think at that point you have to admire the commitment to the bit. People are so always that. Clever with the internet, so I like those kind of replies.
Yeah, I think it's just it's hilarious. I mean, it sucks for him, and hopefully, like, he gets that straightened out. But it doesn't sound like it's gonna.
Bite him. It's gonna bite him. It already has bitten him in the ass. And if he legitimately has a warrant out for organized crime, there's just now going to be a whole investigation, and they're going to try and pin him on something. He's going to be in there, I don't know, 6 months, easy.
I'm just wondering what he was doing in, what organized crime is he doing there? Because he's from North Carolina, right?
Yeah, but you know, some people, like Jay, used to peddle drugs in Virginia, but he's from New York. You just kind of, I don't know, maybe that's one of his things.
He just went to Texas just to...
He's like, I'll keep it out of my home state, but I'm going to go do this business here, and I'll come back in my home state and be calm and relaxed and not have any problems out here.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully these things get straightened out. But, man, yeah, I mean, if he's doing all that stuff, he's going to know the consequences about it. So, yeah, that's the baby for 2020 right now. So
bad start.
Bad start. So let's start with this. So we have a new beef that started up, and this has to do with 50 Cent and French Montana. And so French Montana came out with there's a few things that happened here. So French Montana first came out with a song called Writing on the Wall that had Post Malone and Cardi B. And I don't know this other person. It says
it's Russian.
Russian.
But this came out in September of last year.
Right. So, but I mean, like, French Montana, I don't know how much new stuff he's having. This is the newest one.
He dropped an album, actually, last year called Montana. And I was actually pissed because there's three songs on there that are well over a year old. Well over a year old. I knew all three by heart. I'm like, don't give me an album and have songs that are well over a year old. You have time, put on new music, or just omit those three. It had quite a few songs, but why would you include three really old songs?
Right. Doesn't make sense, but so I guess it wasn't doing as well as they expected or something, and there was like a spike in streams that happened. I think in the article, it doesn't say exactly which month, but it says
it's December is when it spiked. It's December 18th, I think, up until the 27th.
And so what happened here was that people actually were saying that they were listening to something else, and then all of a sudden, you switch to French Montana
playing, on Spotify.
Yeah, on Spotify. So they're like, some people were like, they're fans of French Montana, but they didn't understand why this was happening.
Yeah, so there's a Twitter user named Carla Main who said, I am just going to show the facts of what has occurred. And he said that, I guess Spotify, I don't know if they removed the song, and it appeared again on the 18th of December. That's when it immediately started spiking. And he pulled different Twitter accounts of actual people tweeting, I was playing my Christmas music playlist, and all of a sudden French Montana's Writing on the Wall pops up. I'm not mad, but it was obviously a surprise since that's not a Christmas song. And many other people that said very similar things. I was listening to random music, nothing even hip-hop related, and all of a sudden French Montana's song plays, which is a big deal if it's not a hit, right? It has Post Malone, who's a very widely streamed artist, same with Cardi B. And French Montana has his fair share of popularity and fame as well. So if a song with those three on it doesn't do well, then it's considered a flop.
Yeah. And so this whole spike happened with the Spotify playlist and the streams. And then 50 Cent, we all know 50 Cent tries to be relevant in one way or another. And he just loves to troll. Like, we know what he did when he bought all those tickets for Ja Rule so that no one would show up and not be in the front row. And so he started saying that French Montana was paying for streams for Spotify. And then French Montana's, like, his reaction or his response was interesting. Because he's basically saying, well, actually, you're the one who's paying for my streams. You're the one who's paying so that you can call me out on this. I was like, what?
He's basically calling a conspiracy that 50 Cent is the one that's paying for the songs to be streamed so that he can go back and then accuse French Montana of doing that. I'm not saying 50's above it, because he's clearly not above doing that. As we saw with Ja Rule, he essentially allowed Ja Rule to make money merely to spite him from a visual perspective. I don't know if I agree with it in this circumstance, but he is capable of doing it, I guess.
He is. His exact words, he says, he calls him 59, which I, do you know why he says that?
Yeah, he says that he knows information and has snitched. He keeps calling him a rat, too. There's multiple different, I guess, is it Instagram that they're, or is it tweet?
Instagram. So it looks are like they it tweets? Was Instagram, and actually, no, this one was, these are tweets, it looks like.
No, they're on Instagram. The tweets are okay. From the other dude, okay, the okay, Charlemagne yeah. Dude. So that he calls 50 a rat multiple times, saying he knows stuff that he shouldn't, and he's given the information to the government. So he calls him 59, like 69. Yeah.
And 50 was the one that found Tekashi 69 and promoting him and all that. So, okay, that makes sense. And he also calls him a dinosaur. So he says in the Twitter or the Instagram, it says, 59, how you stoop that low, dinosaur? And he says, you buy fake streams on my song and try to use that against me. Now, against me. Wow, you that desperate? I showed paperwork for $2 million. Now you got nothing on me. But to stoop that low, bully days are over with you. You should use that money for your rap shows, dinosaur. You can only perform in South Korea. It's okay to take an L. And I'm looking for your dentist. You deserve a full refund, 59, an evil donkey.
And he shows the paperwork for the 2 mil Bugatti. He ended up buying an 08 Bugatti Veyron, which is the first year I think that those cars were actually even made. French claims it's a collector's since it's the first year it's made. And it has like zero, like almost no miles, if any. There's some audio. I don't know who's speaking with 50. One of his crew members, I guess, said that he checked out and that the Veyron was specifically only 700,000, and that French Montana had to make a 60-month payment plan to get a $700,000 car. That's why French Montana ended up posting the official paperwork of what it cost and the mileage and all of that, just basically saying, you've got nothing on me. And that's when he kept calling him a rat, too. Again, there's tens of Instagram posts between the two going back and forth with this nonsense.
And then French Montana tops it all off with saying that he won this little, I guess, beef when he posts a picture of what supposedly looks like Eminem and 50 Cent kissing.
And there's DJ K-Slay on the left side of the picture, just kind of like looking forward, trying to ignore the picture of those two kissing.
Yeah, and most people were like, that looks fake. That's not real. And I don't know where I had the picture. I just had it. Oh, there it is. Okay. But yeah, so people were commenting like, this looks fake. It doesn't did. I don't. I mean, people Photoshop. People are really good at Photoshop, so it could. It most likely is that.
I mean, we've seen movies with CGI that looks insanely amazing. Same with video games on computers or even some of the consoles. Hell, even the phone games. Some of them look fantastic in terms of realism. So someone could have easily cropped a picture of 50 kissing a woman. And then Eminem also kissing a woman or someone and just cropping it together.
Yeah, and again, they made the photo look kind of grainy, so like it's older, like in the early 2000s. And so that's why French Montana thought they could give more authenticity to the picture, which again is smart. I mean, if you wanted to look like in the era that this could have taken place, I mean, sure. But again, it's Photoshop, but he's saying that, oh, this is it, this beef or this... This back and forth is done. I won with this. Done.
I don't understand why this had to start, right? My understanding is legitimately French Montana was hospitalized. I don't know if we ever talked about that for several weeks due to dehydration. I guess he had some heart concerns. He gets out of the hospital. Within the first couple weeks, he ends up buying, again, this car. Posted on Instagram, and that's immediately when 50 started trolling him, and that's where we get this now back and forth between the two.
Yeah.
I don't recall any bad blood between them, but prior to this, maybe there was, and I wasn't aware of it. But really, the guy buys an expensive car, and 50 has to say something stupid about it for clout, whatever the case may be. Maybe he truly enjoys the sport of trolling. Sometimes I question it, but I know sometimes he does enjoy it.
I mean, if he does, I mean, that's...
He always uses it to promote his shit, like Power, that show he has on Stars. Mm-hmm. It's funny because French Montana also said something like, nobody watches that stupid-ass show in one of his posts. I don't get it. This is the worst thing. If they're going to feud, I want music out of it. I don't want Instagram posts. Fuck social media for this.
I would actually like to hear 50 Cent respond because I just want to hear what he would have to say.
I feel that French would lose. Yeah. I think French would lose, but I still want music out of it.
I still want to hear it. Be like, what? I mean, you beef with... I mean, the biggest one that you've always talked about is your beef with Ja Rule. And like, apparently, for whatever reason, you still
it's
keep
still,
going. Yeah, it's still going.
You never let it go.
So did you see I won? What he keeps saying, it just... it gets... I think he's just gotten petty on it. That's all.
Well, he has, because how many artists who have had prior beefs keep the beef in the spotlight? He's the only one.
Or at least try to.
Yeah, because even The Game moved on.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't seem to move on at all. Think of all the artists that have beefed before. Drake and Meek Mill, I guess, one of the more high-profile ones in recent years, mostly because of Drake. Meek Mill wasn't that high-profile. They even ended up squashing that and moving on. Like, they don't talk about that beef anymore.
Nope.
But no, 50's legitimately talking about a mid-2000s beef with someone who's no longer even rapping relevantly.
Yeah. And Jar has also done stupid stuff before, but wasn't even with music. It was just like...
the Fyre Festival.
Yeah. And when 50 said, I was waiting. I was like, I can't wait to see what 50 says on this, because it was just hilarious when that happened with Ja Rule. But that is for another time to talk more about 50 Cent, maybe Ja Rule. But we're actually going to talk about an actual beef, which actually started back in what, like 2009. So this has to do with Nick Cannon and Eminem. So you probably heard about this in December, because that's when Nick Cannon came out with, was it two or was it three songs?
Two, from my recollection. Okay, he did release a third, but initially it was two before Eminem even said anything.
Okay, so how did this all start? So this, I would like to say this started back when, not too long ago, when M came out with that song with Fat Joe, early December.
Yes. Because
he talks about Nick, he talks about Mariah. But we actually have to go back all the way to 2009, because Nick actually references that in his diss about when Eminem was with Mariah, or supposedly with Mariah. Just to give a quick recap what happened. So I don't exactly remember all the details, but I remember that Eminem has talked that he had dated Mariah Carey, and Mariah Carey was like, no, you never dated me. So he wrote in a song talking about how they were together, and she responded with the song Obsessed, which was funny because people didn't even know that it was about Eminem. Because the song basically was about an obsessed fan. And she's like, why are you obsessed with me? Why are you following me? All this stuff. And so people didn't know. And it became
a major hit.
Yeah. It was number one in the Hot 100s. And then Eminem also came back and did another song, I believe.
An explicit diss track where people knew he was dissing Mariah.
Yeah. And I think that's where it just ended, right?
I guess. I mean,
Mariah didn't do anything after that.
She moved on. What does she need?
Yeah. So that's where it all started, because I think at that time she was with Nick, though, right? Because his relationship with her was like years before that he brought it up. So that happened. She's with Nick. They get married, divorced, and then years later, nothing goes by. And then Eminem comes up with the track with Fat Joe, where he talks about Mariah and Nick. Basically, he was saying, like, Nick, I told you about her, that she's crazy, you still went after her, whatever, you know. And then so he comes out with I guess it's
Nick
two.
Comes out.
Nick comes out with two diss tracks. Now this is funny, because Nick, at least in my eyes, it is so hard for me to even think about his discography or his songs that come out. The only one that I even remotely remember was Gigolo.
As a successful, credible, serious hip hop artist, I don't believe he belongs in that category, so I agree with you. I don't take him serious.
No, and what's funny is he's taken jabs at M before, but he's also like, he takes jabs but compliments him. It's the weirdest thing, because, you know, we talked about how Nick Cannon went on, well, I think it was on a podcast, or maybe it was on a talk show, where he said where, you know, there's no gangsters that are listening to Eminem.
He says the hood doesn't bump Eminem.
Yeah. But also, like, if you hear like earlier interviews or past, like, he talks about how he like praises Eminem. It's like, Eminem easily in my top five best rappers of all time. Like, I wouldn't want to beef with him. Like, they get destroyed. So it was funny, because he's kind of like going back and forth, like complimenting him, but also dissing him and saying he doesn't really belong there. He's like an enigma in the rap industry, but he's still one of the best. And then he comes out with this diss track, which I guess in, not I said Eminem style, but we talked about how there was that beef with Ja Rule and 50 Cent, but then everyone from like G-Unit and Eminem like all attacked Ja Rule.
Yeah, they all followed on, like collapsed on him.
Yeah, and so this is kind of what they did. So Nick Cannon had his group, and in his first song, he actually had Suge Knight on there talking from prison, saying like, oh, you got to let him have it, Cannon, like we're family.
Talking and, shit on Eminem.
Yeah, and this is funny too because Suge also like, I think attempted to kill Eminem, right?
Yeah, there's reports of him and other, you know, thugs, crew, gangs members just on video, what do they call music videos, like where they're recording them, literally pulling up on Eminem on the shoot, even when like G-Unit was around. And I think I mentioned this in the other podcast where people actually claim 50's a coward. And even, I think they said Dre, because Dre and 50 would like ran and hid. And they said that Eminem and a couple of his other crew members just stayed put and they had like bulletproof vests on and were ready to like shoot back too. Regardless, I guess that's kind of irrelevant, but yes, there is history between Suge Knight and Eminem as well.
Yeah, and so he puts, so Nick Cannon puts Suge in the beginning of the song, I guess to, I don't know exactly what, just to like put credibility to saying like, hey, there's someone who has my back and that I and telling me that I should go after Eminem. And then he starts. And here's the funny thing, though, is he, I think he has like five people, including himself, or four people that are on each song, diss song. And Nick Cannon, each of them is like, is the one of the weakest parts of it. As, like the only part that I've ever...
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Like the first part that he does, like, first of all, Nick Cannon tries to come off as like he's like, like, he's all tough because he starts rapping like a low voice. And he tries to bait Eminem to say something because he knows that Eminem will go wild if you mention his children at all. And that's what he does. He's like, he mentions Haley. He mentions his niece that he's raised since they were children. He's like, that's not even your baby. Like, why are you raising this? And that's all he does. And then he passes it off to everyone else.
I'm going to be honest. I mean, not that I ever even claimed that I have not listened to anything that Nick Cannon has put out because I literally have zero interest in any of his musical endeavors. When I heard it, I was like, that's interesting. And this is what, kind of why I wanted to talk about it as part of it, I guess, is when people saw that this feud was reigniting, most people, I'm going to say, immediately are going to dismiss Nick Cannon as even a threat. He's not going to be a serious competition at all for Eminem. And back to your point, where Nick Cannon has said, oh, I wouldn't beef with him because he'd, you know, would slay in a beef. A lot of people think that Eminem is untouchable when it comes to hip-hop related beefs because, yeah, he is one of the most lyrically gifted individuals I've ever heard, to be honest. He's not my number one favorite by any means, but I will absolutely respect his lyricism. Mm-hmm. His aggressiveness and his fearlessness, honestly, I think is one of the things that makes him pretty ruthless. So to me, I like the conversations of, okay, do you think there's anyone that could beat him? From a public standpoint, I don't think so. I think he has too many stans. So as he puts it, if you don't know what a stan is, you're probably not an Eminem fan. But he's kind of, I guess, coined the idea. I think it was right before. But a stan is basically someone who's such a big fan, they will not admit that that person would lose or have no flaws whatsoever, that that person's untouchable, basically a god. I think there are so many Eminem stans that they wouldn't allow him to lose, so to speak. And before we started recording, I started telling DJ Goose about the concept of Drake into, based on how social media is now, will never lose a beef because he has way too many supporters because of how high his profile is. Everyone would just dismiss anyone that goes up against him. It's like, oh, he didn't take it serious, so he didn't want to, or he's... that person's below Drake. There's no reason for Drake to even attempt to do anything. Because to me, I do agree Meek Mill took way too long to respond to Drake back when they did have their beef. As far as content goes and lyrical concepts, I think Meek won. I think he beat Drake. But in the public eye, he didn't. So do you think, I guess back on that point, do you think Eminem is as absolutely insanely gifted when it comes to beef as people give him credit for?
I think he's, like you said, to his credit, he's unafraid to go after anything about you. And I think that's why people get scared, or people say that's why he's untouchable. That's why he will win any beef. We've seen time and time again where his writing isn't the best. I mean, we saw Encore. We saw, what was it? Relapse. No, what was it? I can't remember which ones they were, but...
Not Curtain. I don't know why I said Curtain Call.
It was before Recovery. The one before Recovery.
Relapse?
Was it Relapse? Yeah. So Relapse was M, but the Encore was the one that showed that. I don't know what he was doing.
I don't think Relapse was it. Well, is Relapse the one with all the pills on it?
I think so.
I actually omit those albums from my... I only really actually like four of his albums, but...
But we see that he can do bad. And so that's why I don't think he's untouchable. I do think that he's someone that will take on anyone, though. That's what I like.
It's weird to me. So I guess we're going to have to provide some historical context, too. I will say there's a pretty prolific rapper, The Game. I think most people know who he is if they're familiar with hip-hop. He notoriously is a huge Eminem fan, and he did an interview, I don't think it was with Sway, it was one of the smaller, maybe local radio stations, and he said, never beef against the white boy. Those were his words, like, he will shred you. He is unbeatable. It's funny to me, because I actually think Game is one of the other hip-hop artists that could actually go after Eminem and come out on top, from my perspective, right? I think there's a couple people. So to that effect, when everyone was buzzing, saying Eminem's unbeatable, he's untouchable, a no longer relevant hip hop artist, Waka Flocka, I don't know if he tweeted or he Instagrammed saying that Andre, well, he said Three Stacks, who's Andre 3000, who is one half of the Outkast duo, said Three Stacks would out rap Eminem any day. And I wanted to just be like, Waka Flocka, you know that out-rapping someone is not the same as beating them in beef, right? Like a hip-hop beef, that's part of it, but there's a bunch of different elements. And again, I guess the fan base really does help. I do agree. I think that as a lyric, maybe as a creative lyricist, Andre 3000 may have a slight upper hand and consistently has given more complete work. I think he actually has a lower discography. I'm positive he has less discography. Sure he does, yeah. So there's that too. I mean, Eminem does have numbers in his favor in terms of, yeah, he's put out more good content. It's such a weird thing for me. And Eminem also has the 8 Mile movie. So if you never really were into hip hop and happened to watch that movie, I actually kind of got, like, I was surprised. It's not a mystery that I love Shook Ones Part 2, Mobb Deep. I actually title that as the best hip-hop song of all time. That's my opinion. And everyone typically knows the beat when you hear it, if you know hip-hop. I had someone listen to it, and they go, oh, this is the beat. This is the song that Eminem raps in the movie. And I go, what? I knew what she was referring to because I knew the movie. I've never watched the movie because I don't care to. It means nothing to me. But she's like, yeah, this is that Eminem song. I go, no, this is Mobb Deep's song. Eminem used it because I saw the clip on YouTube during it, and I go, so you know when everyone chimes in saying ain't no such things as halfway crooks?
Yeah,
that's because it's such a prolific song that everyone knows that part, and he made it work into his beef. So like in my mind, I'm like, but that goes to show you that he won fans from a movie that was a loosely based biopic.
Yeah.
So people view the movie and think, yeah, no one's going to beat him. You know, that movie became the complete reality to them. Yeah, he probably beefed and murdered everyone in a beef in the movie, but those aren't the best of the best. We're talking about, can he go up against a Nas? Can he go up against a Jay-Z? Styles P, who murders people in beefs. Same with Jadakiss. Like, I think it would be a good battle, but I think the four that I just mentioned would possibly be four that
could
truly beat him. Because they attack weaknesses.
Yeah.
They know what beef is because Styles P, Jada, and Jay-Z all grew up on the New York scene of beefing. That's what they did. So did M, to give him the credit. Again, I don't think he's untouchable by any means.
Well, he talks about, you know, that there were rap battles where he was doing. That's how he learned. That's how he got better. And that's what Nick Cannon actually used. Like, I think there were two that were, like, that's all they do is rap battles, and they were on the two songs. Can't remember their names, but their verses in those songs were actually the better ones because they know how to do it. I would actually suggest you guys listen to it. Like I said, Nick Cannon's one is just nothing. His you can disregard. Other ones, they have like hit and misses here and there.
Yeah.
But it's funny because, like you said, there's a lot of stands out there, but overall, like, people were just like, are you serious, Nick Cannon? You are going to go against Eminem? You've done nothing in your rap career.
He has no credibility in the genre.
And so if you look at the videos, like, you look at the ratio of likes to dislikes, like, it is so disliked. And I think it's just because of, like, Nick Cannon. Like, Nick Cannon.
Do you think he views himself as truly embodying in real life Drumline? Do you think that's where he gets,
I think so.
Like, he must truly feel that he is the drummer in Drumline to the rapper in real life, which he's not.
I think so. I think he has this, I don't know, like, he has, like, this veil in front of his face, and that's what he thinks, and no one's telling him different. I think what might have, like, finalized this, that cemented it, was Suge. I think Suge might have said something to Nick, and that's like, yeah, you're right, I should go after him. And that's all he needed.
No.
I mean, as of right now, Eminem has not said anything. I mean, he hasn't put anything out. As far as I know.
Yeah. I haven't. He tweeted something about being like, you're disrespectful, apologize to my gardener, you've made him jealous, or some shit like. Again, this, because Nick Cannon was involved, I was so disinterested in the actuality of the beef between the two. I was more intrigued by the concept of how untouchable Eminem is. So I wanted to kind of talk about theorizing what we think about it. And needless to say, 50 Cent hopped in on this, basically calling out Nick Cannon, saying, in order to get to him, you have to go through me. You don't stand anything against Eminem. And I guess you mentioned, and I actually even mentioned, Eminem's unafraid, but you specified he's not afraid to go after anyone. I don't know if he's unafraid or if he has just a level of respect. So going back to the Ja Rule beef, uh-huh, with Eminem hopped in because Ja Rule mentioned Haley's name. Haley's Eminem's daughter. This is another person at work who I actually talked about. He doesn't think Eminem has really won any beefs or any credible beefs to note. He says that the Ja Rule is not a win in favor of Eminem because Ja Rule essentially metaphorically got jumped when it came to the beef, and he didn't really do much because Ja Rule wasn't aiming anything directly at Eminem. It was against 50. Needless to say, that was a pretty prolific beef between 50 and Ja Rule, and Nas was actually interviewed about it, and this was back then when it was occurring, and they asked, whose side are you on, Eminem, because now they're specifying Eminem or Ja Rule. Nas sided with Ja Rule. He's like, he's siding with Ja Rule. You would almost expect that if that were the case, then Eminem would be like, hey, now you're an enemy too, I'm going to go after you.
Yeah.
We all know, though, that Eminem does respect Nas highly, so I don't know if out of pure respect he chose not to, but he's never mentioned that matter. He's never said anything, but I do know that both artists do respect each other. I'm just saying, if he was as unafraid to go after anyone and had that no, don't give a fuck attitude, like, I don't care if you're my idol, I will go after you. It's weird because the game is the complete opposite. He has nothing but absolute mad respect for Jay-Z. In fact, I think his last album, Born to Rap, we've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. It almost seems like he has multiple songs where he's essentially pleading with Jay-Z to do a song with him, even though he spent many years beforehand trying to bait Jay-Z into a beef.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's an interesting concept. I think a lot of people, and almost rightfully so, truly, put Eminem on a pedestal. He does deserve pretty much all of that credit. But he's not untouchable. I think anybody can be touched or have a bad day. As far as beefs go, I honestly think the only two untouchable people, in my maybe biased but personal opinion, would be Styles P and Jadakiss. I even think Jay-Z and Nas would eventually lose to those two. Could they beat him? Sure. But 9 times out of 10, I'm giving it to Jadakiss and Styles P.
Okay. Yeah. That's...
That goes, applies That's for Eminem. 9 times out of 10, those two would be M in my book.
I think you should do something to start up a beef between all of them. And just There's have no, no.
Jadakiss is also someone that Eminem, like, what's that one song called with Nate Dogg? Till I Collapse?
Yeah.
He lists his, and it's old, but I honestly think that that list probably is fairly intact. He goes, Reggie, who's Redman from, he's not actually from Wu-Tang at all, but Reggie, he's referring to Redman. Jay-Z, Tupac, and Biggie, Andre from Outkast, who is Three Stacks, Jada, which is Jadakiss, Corrupt, Nas, and then me. That's his list in order of who he thinks is the best. Reggie's number one, Jay-Z's two, and then in the other top 10, you hear Andre 3000, Jadakiss, and Nas. So you would argue that he has too much level of respect for them to not even attempt to go after them. Like, I think Jadakiss wouldn't go after Jay. They like each other. In fact, Jay has signed him to the Rockefeller, the Rock Nation label. Nas is also signed to it. It would make no sense to go after your essential boss.
Right.
So, I don't know. Lil Wayne did, but... I mean, the baby. Birdman, baby, is honestly not that much of an imposing beef rapper, so who knows?
No, we'll see what happens. What's funny, though, is... Well, I honestly just wish that Eminem would... Put something out there.
He shouldn't. He should not stoop to that level.
I want to see it.
I like that he hasn't, which it gives credit, I guess, to MGK. He felt necessary to respond to MGK. I hope he thinks, and I'm pretty sure he does, Nick Cannon is such a clown when it comes to that. Nick Cannon is a talented entertainer. He is not a very talented hip-hop artist. He's not going to entertain that idea. He's almost already lost merely by responding to it. That's my guess. And I think even Charlamagne from The Breakfast Club said he gave Nick Cannon the W, and he said he liked the diss tracks. And even that alone wasn't enough for me to want to listen to them. Like, no, I can't believe that he has any good diss songs. The other crew members, maybe they had good verses.
They had good verses, but the overall the song. My favorite part, though, is in the second one, if you haven't heard it, he comes on at the end of the song, and he's like, my boys has got you. I don't even have to rap about anything. I'm going to do it a little bit anyway. And I'm like, what?
So stupid. This is how I view the beef. Let's take a MMA, John Bones Jones. If you don't know who that is, pound for pound, historically, he's for sure top three, if not the best skilled fighter the UFC has ever seen.
Uh-huh.
And let's take a career equivalent of a two-year-old. You know, the toddler who threatened John Bones, I'm going to kill you, okay? Like in a fist fight. That's the career equivalent of the genre of hip-hop between Eminem and Nick Cannon. So, yeah, John Bones Jones could just pick up the kid by the throat and throw him up against the wall. Game over. Like, so don't even, like, you know what I mean? People be like, why the fuck would you do that, John Bones Jones? First of all, it's illegal, but that shows you what I think is the difference between the two. I hope he doesn't make anything. This needs to be done in the past. I'm sick of this nine-year-old, decade-old beef. I'm sick of hearing Ja Rule versus 50. It's stupid. Those need to die off. We need new, fresh, good beef.
We just have to wait for that because I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, DaBaby could get into beef, but most likely he would physically do something to him rather than in a song.
I want to listen to diss records between like skilled people, right?
Uh-huh.
So if like Riff Raff went after, or Jody Hyrule, I think is what he calls himself now, he's gone weird names, goes after Nick Cannon, I will listen to those beef tracks. If someone like OJ the Juice Man goes after Riff Raff or Nick Cannon, I will listen to those diss tracks. But it has to be people almost on the same playing field as far as skills go.
I want Blueface to go against Nick Cannon.
No, I'm not going to listen to Blueface.
Dang it, I was trying to get you to listen to him.
No, I'm not going to listen to Blueface. I
but
will not.
They're like the same.
I mean,
granted, Blueface has more, has more success in rap for whatever reason, but he has no.
It's just the era we live in. But Nick Cannon can at least have rhythm and write a beat. I will give him that. He wins off that alone.
Okay.
What? Listening to Blueface. I hate that I've promoted that anyways on this podcast.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Okay, so before we go, we're going to have Poppy give us a song. I forget, I'm always bad at this, and I will get better at it. But Poppy, a song to listen to.
Bleed by Young M.A. If I've given it before, someone please let me know. I know I'm pretty sure I've given a Young M.A. song. I'm just not sure if it was Bleed. I feel it was Petty Wop, which is you can listen to that too. But Bleed is a song that was produced by the NY Bangers, who've kind of been somewhat new in the past 5 years, about half a decade. They initially actually produced Young M.A.'s first hit, which was almost now 5 years old, Ooh. Uh-huh. And so they always have like kind of dark, grimy, New York-type beats, and I love that. She has a very New York style. It's very aggressive while being laid back. She has a very smooth delivery. And there's not much to say. It's definitely one of those glorifying violence, how she's going to beat you, you know. And she just has a lot of good punchlines. Paints kind of a good picture on the crew she runs with, and very braggadocio. You know, I'm top dog. There's not much you can do. I'm just going to get my money. And I'm a big fan of Young MA. I hope she keeps putting out good content, because I actually think she had a great 2019. So you may hear me talk about her more on our top five lists for 2019. But Bleed is an excellent song if you like grimy hits. And if you got the subwoofers, that's going to be a joy for you.
Actually, I do have one that I want to talk about or promote that actually was, and this is from Rhapsody, and she had an amazing album last year, okay? Greatest song, but that on her album, for whatever reason, there was like one song that I didn't like at the beginning, but it's really grown on me for whatever reason, it just keeps coming on and on my playlist, and it's Oprah. And when I keep hearing, because if you hear her songs, like her album, it kind of reminds me of like slam poetry, kind of in the way that you hear the music, the type of beats, just the environment that she creates in the album. And then you have Oprah, who's like, it's like kind of sounds like a ratchet, like boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, what the heck? And she has like this hook where she's like, I like the check with the commas and commas. I like the check with that. And I started listening, I'm like, okay, she's like, ah, this is a freaking banger. I love this.
The song has far more personality than the rest of the album.
It does. And like I said, it stands out because it's very different. It's more, and she has like, but again, listen to that album. That album's fantastic. And I think both of us are going to talk about her in our top fives in one form or another. But yeah, go listen to Oprah. Again, like, it's very different from her, from all of her, of the rest of the album, but it's worth a listen to, and I really like it. So yeah, Oprah from Rhapsody. Great song.
I agree with that.
So, yep, that's it for this episode. Next episode, we're going to do our top five songs of 2019. And we're going to follow with our top five albums and top five artists of 2019.
They're not mutually inclusive. Nope. They might be. We may see some correlations. We've said it on the previous pod. I'm excited for this list because I'm sure we'll have maybe one or two similarities across these 15 things or pronouns, I should say. But overall, we'll have, I think, a vastly different list.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that makes for a great episode. So, yep, let us know what you think about the beefs. You can write us at our email, which is hiphopsoiree, which is SOIREE 2018 @gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening Thank you so much for listening to Hip Hop Soiree. This is DJ Goose
and Bobby.
And have a good night. Bye.